You are listening to the Jacob Sessions Vodcast. We wrestle with God and one another. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Jacob Sessions Vodcast. I am your co-host, Calvin Moore. Co-co again, because this week we are missing a different member of our group. Last week it was David. This week it is Scott. Things have just kind of come up in all of our lives in the last couple of weeks. So hopefully next week we'll be back to full strength, and I'll be back to being your co-host. But joining us on the Google Hangout or on the line, depending on whether you're watching this or listening, first up we've got Rachel Hargis. What's going on, Rachel?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And then the always awesome, not that Rachel's not awesome as well, but the always awesome David Sidebotham is back with us this week. What's up, David?
Not much. I've got a fort, and I'm glad to be back, guys. By fort, I mean that, as I mentioned, I think, previously, the living room was taken by a Slovakian phone call, which is awesome. And much as I wanted to grace you guys with the wonderful language, which is Slovakian, I figure if it's confusing me, probably going to confuse you.
We have a huge Slovakian community that tunes in religiously to our vodka.
There is that, but then again, I have no idea if what he's saying is actually clean. It could be like the most witty innuendo in the world, and I would never know.
It could be. So yeah,
it's Slovakian. It probably is.
Best to keep us, away from that kind of.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah. No, this is your friend's coarse Slovakian language and talk. but what's been going on in your guys' world?
Go ahead, David.
I mean, that's it. On my end, I mean, obviously I couldn't make it last week. We are recording this on a slightly different day because of my hectic schedule, which, thank you guys. But yeah, it's just a really busy time at work. There hasn't been a whole lot of time for anything. Later last night, I had my first chance to relax. It was basically finishing up Game of Thrones, finally. I mean, I've read the books, but you gotta watch it. Not that I'm recommending people watch it, but if you're watching it, yet, at any event, it was fun.
Gotcha. We do not endorse what is in that show.
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. It's definitely one of those things where when Paul says, for some, it's not given. It's one of those things, for some, don't watch the show. If it's going to cause you to stumble, don't go near that.
Yeah. Rachel, what's up with you?
The biggest thing that I can say right now is that I have spent the good portion of 3 days writing a paper about one word. So that has been my life. And the word has been the letter I, like the pronoun.
Oh, I was hoping it was like a Sesame Street episode. I was almost like completely excited. This essay brought to you by the letter I. And like 25 others, but still.
Start off the paper. She should do
it. I should. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's been a little bit like mind-killing. So the humor may be just a little bit off tonight just because I've been like so in my head all day.
Gotcha.
Theological study.
Yeah, the welcome to the world of being a theology student. I do not envy you, but I also don't feel sorry for you. I've been there. In my world, less theological, the Tigers were put out of the running by the Boston Red Sox, who are now playing in the World Series, which begins tonight. So, no World Series for the Detroit Tigers. Which is sad, but I did bring to you guys a new Detroit shirt made in Detroit, straight up by Kid Rock. What up?
Victory.
Who's closest I'll ever come to Kid Rock. You know, there's a reason I don't like Kid Rock music, and it's because I wear glasses. Wear glasses.
I get it. I like some rock and roll because I have hair.
Because you have hair.
I mean,
That makes complete to me. Interestingly enough, normally we take time, we've got a lot of banter, we want to talk about what's going on in our world, but we're not going to spend as much time doing that tonight because, one, First off, when we're recording this, it's pretty late in the evening, and we just, that was the only time we'd get together to do this, so we all kind of want to have the conversation and then go to bed, or spend some time with friends and family or whatever. But so we're going to kind of dive right into the conversation tonight, and sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. I need to bring up this story here real quick on the internet. What we're going to talk about is, gosh, you can't make this stuff up. Okay, so there is this woman, and her name is, let me bring this up. Her name is Jackie Samuel, and she is charging $1 a minute for cuddle sessions. So what she's doing is she's charging people essentially $60 an hour to cuddle with them, complete strangers. There's no sex involved. It's fully clothed. But she has a business where she just cuddles with strangers. And this story is actually about a year old. I found a story about this. It's about a year old, but I guess the media recently picked up on this and decided to comment on this.
To blow it out of proportion.
And comment on it is what I'll say. It put it on my radar, and I found it very, very interesting. So some people are calling her, really horrible names that you should not be calling women. They're basically looking at her as a prostitute of sorts, or a poor man's prostitute for cuddling with strangers. And so I thought it would be interesting to discuss this from a Christian worldview, because as far as I understand, she is embracing other people, and human beings, by and large, we want to connect, whether it's through a hug or holding hands, or if you're married, through sex, or we try to connect through electronic means like this Google Hangout right now, or Skype or FaceTime or text message or email. Human beings long to connect. And so this woman is, again, cuddling with strangers and connecting with other human beings, but it's being done in a way that it's opening her up to people looking at her, not just with a raised eyebrow, but with accusations of her being a prostitute or a whore. So I wanted to talk about this from a Christian worldview. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is it compassion run amok? How do we look at this as believers? I know it's a light news week. It's not as big as other things that are going on in the world, but I found it fascinating and wanted to talk about it.
The news is desperate.
Yeah, it's our podcast, and we can do what we want. So we're talking about snuggling tonight.
No, I think it's a cooler, more lighthearted topic. I like that. Yeah. That makes so much sense. I saw your Facebook post about it in isolation. I didn't have to read it. I'm kind of like, really? That's like probably the silliest thing I've heard in the world. A Christian perspective on cuddling? I'm like, yes, and we can talk about milkshakes while you're at it, too. but that makes a lot of sense now. From a Christian perspective, my first thing to go to would be that it's idiotic. It's dangerous. In terms of trying to connect with someone, you're basically selling the appearance of emotional connection, which means either you're lacking that and you want the affirmation, so you're selling it. You see that a lot in the sex industry. People who, I guess, say strippers, they want to be strippers. It's like, that's kind of true and it's kind of not. A lot of them actually have a psychological addiction, which causes them to want to be desired in that way. So I would question whether it's healthy, first and foremost. Definitely question whether it's wise. And from there, I would say it's foolish. And given the Proverbs, I'd say, it's not that you're, can't be a fool. God loves the fools. You're going to heaven still, but it's better not to be an idiot. Would be sort of where I'd put that.
All right. How about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I sort of agree. When I first heard it, I was just so surprised. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to, you know, of course, saying that, you know, just prostituting yourself is wrong, and that's not the case. But I think it does lend itself to a similar type of issue, which is that we long for human connection and we long for intimacy. But I think it's misplaced, like you said, David. I think that it needs to, physical intimacy needs to match emotional intimacy. And like, that's where a lot of, I think, broken relationships come from. When it comes to that sort of thing. So I think just placing, okay, let's just have this really random physical intimacy without emotional is just, yeah, I think it's unwise. And I think that in the long run, it's going to hurt her, whether she sees it right now or not.
Okay. So, now, here's where I want to kind of muddy the waters a little bit. I mean, well, before I muddy the waters, I'll give my perspective. I don't think that it's necessarily a wise thing, along the same lines of, you know, and this is not to call her a prostitute, but along the same lines of what a prostitute, the kind of work that she's in, the line of work that she's in, creates a kind of danger. She's, you know, putting her life in the hands of strange men every night, so it's very dangerous work. And so she is in, and it's not like a soldier going off to war where we know that, well, that's dangerous too. But this is inviting someone into your private space that is strange to you. You don't know them. They don't know you. They could be anybody. Of course, you could be anybody, but chances are they're probably somebody. And so in that sense, I'm like, gosh, this is just dangerous. It seems like a very dangerous profession to have. All emotional intimacy aside, it just seems dangerous and foolish. But I would stop short of saying that I think that she's wrong for doing it. Interestingly enough, and I know a lot of my Christian friends would most likely disagree with me on this and say that I'm being ridiculous. But this is going to be a bit of a stretch here, and this is where I'm going to kind of try to muddy the waters. I find a little bit of historical, at least historical, precedence in this in the Bible. And I'm not trying to use the Bible to prove my point, because I believe that this, what I'm about to read here, is descriptive, which means the Bible is describing something, and it's not necessarily proscriptive, meaning it is prescribing something, telling us that we have to do this, but it's also not prohibiting it. So I find it very interesting. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, let me read this real quick. Now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, "Let a young woman, or let a virgin, be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms, that my lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not, or the king did not have sex with her. And so essentially what we have here in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, is a snuggery, in a sense. This woman, and the funny thing is, it wasn't the woman who was like, "Hey, I want to have this. I have this idea that I'm just going to snuggle with people." It was the attendants of the king. This is like, assume like President Obama, you know, couldn't keep warm at night, and his White House chief of, let's find a virgin who we can have just lay in his arms. They're not going to have sex. They're just going to snuggle. So I found this very interesting. And so I'm kind of like, well, I don't know what I don't want to say that it's wrong what she's doing, because I look at this and I'm like, well, the Bible doesn't say anything against it. I don't think that it's necessarily wise. And sure, the context is a little bit different. She's having people pay for this. It's there.
It certainly isn't condemned, even if at the worst case scenario, if the wise men, his advisors, were doing that with the intention that he would sleep with the girl. given that all that happens is Snuggery, it's not one of the, on account of, it's not, I think it's sketchy no matter how you look at it. I mean, it is. I think the fact they make a point that she's a virgin and beautiful, in context of kings at that time, if you told me that the king of Babylon in his old age had many virgins brought to his chamber and he slept with them, I'd be like, yeah, that's like what a king of Babylon would do. Ancient Near Eastern stuff, that sounds about like the right kind of way they'd approach that problem. Mm-hmm. King David not doing anything could imply his age/impotence. It could imply that he's just not into that kind of stuff like he was in his youth, which, I mean, A, has implications of his more wisdom and age, but B would have implications that he's not the great conqueror he was. That's a really chauvinist way to say that, but that would be, if it were written that way, what it'd be intended to imply. But the fact that that's, it's not prohibited, given the way David responds to it. So, I mean, hiring a woman to come over and snuggle with you would be what you'd have comparable to that. The woman's not condemned. That's not condemned. I still think it's a terrible idea. I feel like that's, like, I'm just going to, like, walk into the brothel and talk to the prostitutes. That's not a sin, but it might not be wise. I mean, it just looks like something it's not, for one. And it's a dangerous situation for everyone involved in that.
Yeah, and especially looking at David's history, like, it's not, like, he doesn't have a squeaky clean record. So it's just kind of the idea, kind of translating that to our article, our news story, like, you don't know the little backstories that each man that walks in there has.
Yeah, and, like, what is the context with this girl as well is another question. Right. Is she just like her friends, or is she selling it to strangers?
There's actually a video where, I mean, she meets with these guys in public first, so it's not like she's just like, hey, you know, dude comes up and leans on, or she comes up and leans on a dude's car, was like, hey, you know, $5 and I'll snuggle with you. It's, you know, we meet in public, we're going to meet at like a Panera Bread or like a Starbucks or something, and have pre-snuggle conversation, I guess. I get a feel for who you are, and if I feel comfortable, then yes, we'll do this. If I don't feel comfortable, then no, I won't. So it's not like she's just walking in completely blind on all this. It's not like a blind date snuggle. But I...
I wonder if it's a sting.
No, it's definitely not a sting. It's not a sting, and you don't have, I mean, like... Chris Hansen coming out at the end, like, do you know who I am?
but, yeah, dude, that'd be a pretty cool premise for a comedy thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, admit it. You,
it's
like
a sting,
snuggling
and the sting goes wrong.
You like snuggling with 13-year-old girls, don't you? You pervert.
Oh, gosh.
But and that's a whole other conversation right there. But she is doing this thing, and she says that the types of men that she tends to snuggle with, are like widowers, so widowed men who have snuggled with their wives their entire lives, and then their wives have passed on. People who are in between relationships or having difficulties in, you know, relationship, having intimacy with their wife or their significant other, that's almost like a sexual surrogate in a way. So there is, like, definitely the intimacy is implied. In this, she's not saying that it's not intimacy free. And when men get turned on through doing this, she says that it's completely natural, but she's got rules in place, you know, no hands touching any areas that shouldn't be, otherwise things are ended immediately. So she is, like, on the one hand, like, you hear, oh, the men whose, you know, wives have passed away. I remember when I first got divorced, it was horrible trying to go to sleep because my body adapted to having someone in bed next to me. And so when we first got, when she left and we went through this divorce, it took a very, very long time for my body to adapt back to this, well, the bed is all mine kind of deal. And so in that sense, I get like, I almost have compassion. I understand, oh man, these guys have had their wives for 20, 30, 40, 50, years and so on, and then that's suddenly gone, and this woman comes along and says, "Hey,
you know,
I'll snuggle with you. I'll be what you no longer have, as much as I can be without it being sin."
To me, that actually causes it to cross a line from being something, and in a light way, because it's, I don't think it's simple. And I kind of got, I guess, two thoughts, and one simple, one's not. The idea sometimes I try to ask when I'm trying to decide if something is wrong, in addition to how I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me, is generally speaking, if something's wrong, if there's an objective sign, some sort of harm it causes. And in the instance of men who are recent widows, in the instance of sexual surrogation, in a couple other instances you listed, psychologically, I would think that'd be extremely detrimental to when you're going through that mourning process to be able to rely on a surrogate and to enable substitutionary treatment of myself, of my emotions, substitution in that. But then also my concern would be that it would actually promote a kind of objectification of women. That thing which I desire, whatever my wife or my lover or whoever it is next to me, to replace that with a service I can buy. When I think about it, that becomes huge in my head. Reducing, even just practically, even if it's not consciously, if it's not widespread, reducing any intimacy thing, but especially related to women, to that. The reason, especially to women, is I feel like so much of history in America has approached women as being an object of service or a commodity. And if we say, oh, porn is wrong, not only because it damages you, but primarily because it objectifies women, my concern would be maybe it's not objectively wrong for her to sell herself. And in that sense, you could also say maybe it's not objectively wrong for a woman to strip. But what it causes, what enables men to do with that creates a situation which is wrong and becomes wrong.
That was going to be my next question, kind of going back to what I said initially over, like, emotional intimacy and physical intimacy need to be matched. You can't just have one without the other. What if it were reversed? Like, what if this was a man? What if this was a man saying, hey, you can pay me and I'll snuggle you? Like, I feel like reactions would be different.
I mean, that'd be hugely creepy.
That's your immediate reaction, though, and that's what I'm questioning is, like, well, if we're kind of struggling with this and we're like, well, is it okay, is it not okay, but then if a man did it, we're thinking, oh yeah, well, that's dumb, that's creepy, that's weird, you know, like, to me that even proves further, yeah, like, this is just playing into an objectification of women, to a culture where women are seen as something that, you know, some sort of service rendered.
See, it's weird. My mind doesn't even go there because for me, and now it's going there because, you know, it's been brought up, and so I have to think through that. But when I think about it, like when I think about, I think back to when I was in just out of high school and I was working this job, and this guy was not a believer, and he was going on and on about how he liked to watch pornography, and he loved to watch two women because it was two soft women together and it was hot, and he's attracted to that because he's attracted to women. And so I thought, well, so what if it was two dudes, man? And he's like, that's just gross, that's just disgusting. And so there's this kind of dichotomy that we have. And so bringing that, bear with me on this this example here, because I don't want to really connect it to porn, I want to connect it to how men view women and women view men. When I look at a woman doing this and offering herself in this way, I don't think of it as a commodity, even though it is something that I am buying. I see a woman as, and this could bring up all sorts of gender role kind of questions, but I see women as softer, gentler creatures. And this isn't to say that women don't think the same dirty thoughts that men do. So when a woman says, if you pay me, I will snuggle with you, fully clothed, you can't touch me in any spot that's not right, I won't touch you in any spot that's right, oh, that's not right, I take her at her word.
Yeah, but I mean,
men I understand. Men I understand to be like perverts, and so yeah, when you think about like, what if a dude did this? What if it was reversed? Like, yeah, he's probably perverted. He probably just wants to have sex with lots of women.
That's how it is in America.
That would be my thought. And so, yeah, I don't go to the whole commodification thing. I go to, this woman has a really understanding, soft heart and is trying to offer something as best she can. And
you see, that's not where my mind went with that.
Right. And so I guess we're all different, but that's where my mind went. So it's interesting that I'm getting more thoughts, and this is why we do the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And I know we're running out of time here. There was something else that I wanted to say. In the end, she talked about, and I thought this was really powerful. Again, this isn't making it right. I'm not willing to say that it's wrong yet, but I'm willing to say it's unwise. At the end of this article, she talked about, after talking about all the types of different men that she would be willing to cuddle with and the reasons that are coming to her for, she said eventually she would like to offer her services for free. So there is no longer a commodity, right? Well, it's not a commodity that's being paid for. And she'd like to offer it free to homeless people. And my thought was, wow, okay, that's a part of our society and our culture that we, by and large, we try to avoid even seeing. Like if I come up off the, you know, I live in a city, you guys both live in Chicago, so you live in a city. When I come up off the, you know, off the off ramp and there's a homeless guy sitting there, you know, saying, you know, homeless veteran or whatever, and I hate it when I get stuck at the traffic light because then they're right there beside my car, and it's like I'm just like, okay, what's going on my phone here? Okay, cool, something's happening on Facebook. Please turn green light. Please turn green light. I don't want to see that guy there. And then I'll go when the light turns green. She's saying I want to offer my services to homeless people.
You see,
cuddle with them, and I'm like, these are people we avoid seeing and touching, obviously. And she wants to.
I don't buy it even for one second.
You know,
I mean, there's two things with that. First and foremost, I don't think she at all understands the implications of what she's saying. Yes, in one sense, you're absolutely right. Homeless people are horribly oppressed in America and everywhere. The poor are oppressed, and we oppress them in this country as much as we can within the law. No doubt about that, and that's wrong. But the bottom line is that... there's issues with drug addictions, and there's issues with proximity to crime, and then there's issues with just sanitation, which would be dangerous. And once again, it's a sense of compassion or the appearance of compassion, which allows us to address a superficial concern without addressing an underlying concern. So again, it's a way to address a problem that contributes to the problem because it doesn't address the underlying problem, distracts from it. That kind of thing would, if I were to formulate a hypothesis and make a prediction, if this hypothesis were true, you would see this kind of behavior. That is one of the behaviors you would see. Absolutely, you would see that sort of thing. Because I don't want to make it criticizing it, the character, that's not where we want it to go, but I guess in a sense, it's making a caution about that. That thing where I said, I want to be desired. How much am I worth? I'll put myself out there. You'll pay $120 to see me naked. I must be hot. I feel affirmed. Or I'll get this for free if you give me emotional intimacy. You see that all the time in dating. And then you see all kinds of, especially in the sex trade, in public, front place of I'm really a good person in this way. This is really being done for compassion in this way, which all distract from the underlying need to feel affirmed.
So you're really putting it back on her. We're, you know, a lot of things about what these men are getting, but you're saying
that, of a disorder, and what she's saying about about compassion is symptomatic of that disorder. If she had that disorder, she would behave in that way. And it clearly demonstrates she doesn't understand the social problem she's talking about. So she's either a well-intended person making money, not thinking about a social issue at all beyond, oh, poor people need hugs, which is offensive, or B, she's doing that and she has a disorder, which is honestly, I think, less offense. I think that's understandable.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Rachel.
Honestly, if this girl were my friend or my sister or someone, you know, and I were in a position to be able to give her advice as another woman, you know, I would either say, A, you're being very, very naive. If you think that, you know, and I'm not even just talking about homeless men, I'm talking about men in general. If you really think that what you're doing isn't going to be damaging to yourself and damaging to them in the long run. B, I would say specifically when it comes to wanting to offer it for free, you know, to homeless people, you know, whatever, that there are so many better things that you could be doing for them that aren't so, yes, human contact is important, but to do it in that way is convoluted in itself. And so, you could be putting, if you really want to help people, you could be putting your time to much better use. And also, I mean, my biggest concern with her, it's not so much that, oh, I think you're a bad person, or I think that this is wrong, or that you're, you know, evil, or that you're luring men, or whatever. I mean, my biggest concern would be, like, what do we say about your dignity and your self-worth, and how do you view yourself that you think it's okay to just, you know, let any, not any, I know that she meets with them, but, like, let these men who don't know you, yeah, like, no, it's not prostitution, but it is, here's my body to be used as a purpose that, you know, is for money.
Mm-hmm.
It's still borderline, and to me that begs the question of, you know, where is your worth as a woman?
In isolation, it's less offensive and more sad, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not offended. It would more so just concern me.
Okay. Now, I know we're kind of out of time here, but I do want to offer the closing thought. because while I'm not ready to go all the way to the point of calling this categorically wrong or sin, you guys are definitely giving me a lot of food for thought. But I want to say back in like 1997 or 98, I read a book by the late Chuck Colson. It was a book called How Now Shall We Live, which was kind of an updating of Francis Schaeffer's book, How Then Shall We Live. But in this book, he talked, in this section, he's talking about assisted suicide. And while this is a far cry from assisted suicide, the connection point is the same for me, because he talks about how assisted suicide is born out of a place of compassion. We see our friends hurting, we see family members suffering, and we want to do what we can to alleviate that suffering, to alleviate that pain, or to take on some of it ourselves. And so, thus, assisted suicide becomes the most compassionate thing that you can do to end someone's suffering. And he goes into why he believes that is not correct. And he says it is compassion run amok. And I won't bring up all those reasons, because this isn't about assisted suicide. But he says it's compassion run amok. Compassion needs limits. Compassion has to work within a limited framework. Unfortunately, you know, that's the world we live in. If we just let people who were compassionate do whatever they wanted to alleviate people's suffering and pain, then the world would be probably in much worse place than it is, and it would cheapen suffering. It would cheapen the things that people go through, the lessons that they learn, who they come out as on the other side, and what God may be teaching them through that suffering. So when I look at this cuddling, the one thing I am willing to say is I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she is a compassionate woman and has a heart for people. I'm not willing to say that she doesn't. But I would say that she is someone who is compassionate, but her compassion is being allowed to run amok. It is not with proper limits. And now listening to what you guys are saying is probably creating more problems than it is solving. It's cheapening when someone loses their wife. it is cheapening what they have with their wife, that it can just be replaced by stepping in and snuggling with them. As much as I understand it, and as much as I would probably desire that. Like when I first read this, I was like, man, when I was divorced, I wish something like this had been around, because I could have used it. I really could have used that commodity. But it is compassion run amok when I really get down to thinking about it and take into consideration what you guys have said as well. So those are my final thoughts. I think we've said what we can on this one. We got to wind this one down. So if you guys have thoughts on the snuggery, just Google it.
I like that word.
Google, yeah, that's what she calls it. Google the snuggery. Look it up. If you have thoughts about our podcast, please email us at thejacobsessions3228@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @Jacob_sessions. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheJacobSessions. And so hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. Hit us up. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We would love to hear what your thoughts are on this particular episode, especially just because it was such fun to talk about. And next week, we look forward to having Scott back with us. And I think next week we should probably talk about, like, Halloween traditions, what we've all done.
Halloween-wise,
because we're coming up on Halloween, so we're gonna talk about that. So and because Scott wasn't here, we're extending our picture contest by a week.
Excellent.
So, none of our pictures have moved in terms of likes in the last couple of weeks, so we're gonna give it one more week and see where that goes. I still think that Rachel's going to win, but
likely.
Well, I'd like to come in a close second. So anyway, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. Talk to you later.